Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Oh, it is a joy. We are ready for the word. Who's ready for the word today, church? We are. Come on. It is our absolute pleasure to have Tim Biasetto with us this morning. Tim is the discipleship pastor at Horizon Church in Sydney. He also leads their Horizon Leadership College. He was their youth pastor for 8 years and a young adults pastor for 7 years. He's been on team for a long time, was saved in the church at 13, has been in the church ever since. And it is our joy to have him with us today. So can you join me in warm welcoming Tim Biasetto to the stage today? Come on, man. Come on.
Well, thank you so much, Andy, and what a kind introduction, and it is truly an honor to be here. Thank you so much for having me, church. How good was it just to gather together and worship this morning? The worship was amazing, and I loved it when we went to the hymn, and everyone just started singing. I'm like, oh, this is my kind of place, right? So, but it really is an honor. Thank you, Andy, and thank you, Pastor Graham, as well, for having me, and as you heard, I'm from Sydney. Don't hold it against me. And I'm part of an incredible church up there called Horizon Church with Pastor Brad and Pastor Allison Bonholm. And I've been on team for many years, as you heard, youth, young adults, and now as a discipleship pastor. And it's an incredible church. And today we also have what we call an all-in Sunday where the kids are in the service. So I get it. I'm actually myself a parent. My wife, Melanie, and I, we've been married 10 years this year. Which is quite remarkable. My wife is, she's amazing, right? She's half Dutch and she's also half Tongan. So yeah, it's an amazing mix. So she's tall, she's dark, she looks like a holiday. She is God's gift to me. And we've been married 10 years and we have two beautiful girls, a 4-year-old called Lacey and a 1-year-old called Magnolia, and love them to pieces. So I totally get parents. If you've got kids that are getting a little bit loud, don't stress. I'll try not to take too long this morning as we share around the word. But I am, you know, as you heard, a person who grew up in our church at 13 years old. I still remember the day that my family and I walked into a service just like this. There was nothing unique about this service. It wasn't a special day going on. It was just a regular Sunday service. But my family and I came along because my parents were having some marriage challenges and went to a marriage counseling center that was attached to the church. And they asked, what is this building? It's not, you know, and someone said, it's a church. They said, well, it doesn't look like a church. We might go along and check it out. And so my parents and my younger brother went along one Sunday morning and had an encounter with Jesus. They realized that God loved them, and it was the beginning of a transformation in our family. My older brother and I, we didn't go in the morning, but my older brother, who was sort of going off the rails at the time, and my parents were not sure what to do. He's 15, I'm 13, following my older brother's footsteps. They said, we've got to get these boys into church. And so about 3 weeks later, I remember after going to church and experiencing this faith community and feeling that there's something going on here for me, I remember responding in my own heart to Jesus and opening up my life and saying, you know what? I want this. I want God. If you love me, I want you. And I remember praying a prayer, simple prayer, changed my life forever. And about 6 months later, my older brother also eventually decided to receive Jesus. And, you know, to be honest, the trajectory of my family's life was changed forever. And here I am all these years later. You never, ever would have picked me to be a youth pastor or to be in ministry, but God is so good. And there may be somebody here and you've dropped in or you came because your kids go to the school or whatever it is. I don't know how you found yourself in here, but I do know this, that God loves you. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. And if you would give God a chance, your life could be so radically transformed and the trajectory of your future could be altered forever. And I want to encourage you to have an open heart, if that's okay this morning as we share the word. So is it okay? And are you guys happy for us to jump in and open up the scriptures and ask God just to speak to us this morning? So I want to share a well-known verse that will be a foundation for this morning's message, and then we're going to pray. The verse is Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. And it says this, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him and He will make your paths straight." It's an incredible verse. And this morning, I want to share a message that I have titled, Two Trees and a Taxi Driver. Two Trees and a Taxi Driver. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much that your Bible teaches us that when we contemplate you, that we are transformed into your image. And Lord, I thank you this morning as we open the scriptures, that we can see you as you really are, that you would reveal yourself to us, God, and as we consider you, contemplate you, look to you, that a transformation would take place in our hearts. So God, we commit this morning to you. We lean in with faith and believe that you are going to do a great work in our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know if you've ever been duped or, you know, tricked at some point in your life, but it's not a nice feeling, right? Now, I remember being so deceived once that I wasn't really even angry. I was actually impressed. My wife and I, we before we had our kids, we went on this amazing trip to the beautiful nation of India. And Malia and I were just thinking, where's somewhere that we've always wanted to go that we want to do a holiday in? So we went to India, right? And we love India and we've got great friends from that nation. But when I booked my hotel, a guy called Emil who ran the hotel said, listen, the most important thing is when you get to the airport, don't get in the car with any other driver except for the driver from our hotel. I said, no problem. So what happens is we land in India and I'm just on a long flight. We're just pumped to be there. We get off and first thing you walk out, you grab your bags. Someone came and scooped up our bags and said, let me help you with the bags. I'm like, no, sorry, it's fine. We've got our own bags. All good. Thank you very much. And got our bags and we went out. And then I hear from the distance someone yell out, Tim. And I'm like, oh. It's obviously the driver from the hotel. So I go over and I say hi and I say, oh, are you the driver from the hotel? Yes, I'm the driver from the hotel. Do you know Emil? Yes, I know Emil. I'm like, sweet. He's like, come with me. Puts my, you already know what's going on, right? Puts my wife and I in the car. We're driving and I know that it's maybe like a 15, 20 minute drive to where we were staying. And after about 15, 20 minutes, when we're still sort of nowhere near the city, I'm sort of like, it's very... Like, are we going to the hotel? Oh, yeah, we will. But first, I'm going to take you somewhere because there was a festival and they've shut that part of the city down. So we can't get in there till about midday. So I'm going to take you to my brother's shop. He's actually, he works with tourists and he'll be able to help you with your holiday. And I'm like, oh, okay. So we get there, we get out of the car, we sit down. He's like, what do you want to do? Do you want to do tours? Do you want to drive? Or do you want this? And we're sitting there, I'm like going, something is up. starting to realize there's something going on. And I said, you know what? I would really love some Wi-Fi. So they give me the Wi-Fi password and then the messages start coming in. Ding, ding, ding. It's Emil. Where are you? My driver can't find you. Are you okay? Did you land? I am like, oh my gosh, who are we with? And I said, excuse me, I'm just going to make a quick phone call. I'll call Emil. And I said, oh, your driver picked us up. We're at these brothers' thing. He's like, oh, that's not my driver. Put me on the phone to the people. I don't know what Emil said, but at the end of it, they look very like, you know, shocked. And they're like, okay, we're going to take you to the hotel right now. So obviously he told them like, that they couldn't be doing this to us. And we went to the hotel and it was interesting. When I talked to my hotel manager, he said, why did you jump in the car? I said, well, when I walked up to them, they knew my name. And he says, oh, what would have happened? Did someone come and try and help you with your bags? I said, yes. He said, oh, well, that was somebody that was actually helping with your bags to see your name. And so then they went and told their friend who then yelled out your name. And I'm like, ah. And I said, but he said he was from the hotel. And he said, let me ask you a question. Did you say, are you from the hotel? Or did he tell you he's from the hotel? Did you use my name first or did he? And I'm like, huh. Yeah. Do you know Emil? Yes, I know Emil. Huh. And I was like, this is actually remarkable. Amazing, right? It's only in hindsight that you become aware of deception. You see, the nature of deception is that you are unaware. That's what makes it deception. The moment you're aware, it's no longer a deception. In Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, we see the greatest deception ever in history with Adam and Eve. And we're going to dive all the way back to Genesis chapter 2 this morning and read a few verses to help us understand how, in this day and age where we need to understand what God's heart and will for us is, we can protect ourselves from deception. So Genesis 2, we're going to read from verse 7, and this is what it says. It says, then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden. And there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden, there was the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There are two trees in the middle of this garden that God had made and placed man. We go on in verse 15. It says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die. So there's two trees in the middle of the garden, but there is only one tree that is forbidden to eat from. Now jump with me to Genesis 3, verse 1. It says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.' 'You will not certainly die,' the serpent said to the woman, 'for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves." Do you know, up until this point, Adam and Eve, they are living life as God intended people to live life. They have life in its perfect form. They have everlasting life because, as we said, there's two trees. One is the tree of life. One is the knowledge of good and evil. The tree of life was not out of bounds. They were able to eat from that and live with God. They were walking in communion with God. He would talk to them and they would discuss things. And it was a beautiful picture of God's intention for humanity. Eternal life and communion with Him. That is God's heart for every person. Eternal life and communion with Him. But in the midst of this perfection, they're given access to all these trees, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And, God's heart for humanity is that we have eternal life and communion with Him, and then something happens. And some of you know what happens, and a little thing called choice happens. And God says to the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die." Now, what's important when we read this verse is to just step back for a second and realize God didn't say, "If you eat from that tree, I'm going to kill you," which is sometimes how we think of God. And you know, it's actually really important how we perceive God, because how we perceive Him affects how we receive Him. And He didn't say, "I'm going to kill you if you eat that tree. Don't you dare do it." He said, "No, don't eat that tree. If you eat from it, you will certainly die." God's heart was not one of control, but one of concern. He wanted people to decide and trust Him rather than doing what they wanted to do and encountering the consequences. His desire is for people to have everlasting life and communion with Him. I love this verse in 2 Samuel 14:14. It says, "Like water spilled on the ground which cannot be recovered, so we must die. But that is not what God desires. Rather, He devises ways so that the banished person does not remain banished from Him." So the age-old question that I think all of us ask is, well, if this tree is going to lead to death, God, why even put it there in the first place? Did you ever think that? Like, when I get to heaven, I'm going to be like, why, right? But it's an interesting question that has been asked by many people for a long time. And I was trying to think of how we could, to help make sense of this message, share that. And let me share an idea with you, right? So I told you that I've been married for 10 years. Now, if I was to tell you that, 10 years ago on my wedding day, my wife didn't want anything to do with it, but I had some really, you know, strong, you know, people, and we were able to get her to the wedding and forced her hand in signature, and our marriage has been great ever since. You'd be like, okay, this guy's a psychopath, right? You don't deserve to be married. You deserve to be in jail, because we can all recognize that what we have in marriage is a voluntary agreement and something that's entered into from both people voluntarily. It is. If there's no voluntary agreement, there is no authentic relationship. Choice is necessary for an actual relationship to exist. It's the actual choosing of God that a person has to make that gives substance to our relationship with Him. So choice is vitally necessary and profoundly beautiful. So trust the enemy of our soul to go after the one thing that can cause division in our heart between us and God. The enemy has no handle on God, so goes after God's children, God's image, the ones He loved, Adam and Eve, you and I. And, we see in Genesis 3, it says that the serpent comes to the woman with deception. Did God really say, "You won't die, you will be like God"? And this is like interesting, because He's tempting people with the same sin that ruined Him. You will be like God. if you do this, and you know what? The deception is, you know what? Did God really say that? And starts to deceive Adam and Eve, and they buy his thoughts, and then they sure enough do what he says. And what's interesting is the serpent promised that if you do this, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be able to know good from evil, which happened. So they ate from the tree, and then all of a sudden they realize, oh my gosh, good from evil. And they realized God alone is good, and our decision to disobey him is evil. And they became filled with guilt and shame. And this is when guilt and shame enter the human story. And they go on to hide from God. Bad person to play hide and seek with. He's like, where are you? And they're like, we're hiding. He finds them, and they've covered themselves in fig leaves. And he's like, why are you covered in fig leaves? You know, and they said, because we're naked. He's like, who told you you're naked? The serpent deceived me. Eve says, and this is where this whole story lands, which is so sad. God says, no, that is not my heart. I told you, if you go there, the consequences are death. And so what he does is he actually separates mankind from the tree of life, lest they reach out and eat and live for eternity in this place of separation and brokenness with God. So we're sitting here, and we're like, that's an ancient story, Tim. Like, you've come all this way telling us this story from ancient days. What does it mean to me today? Well, like Adam and Eve, you and I, we are children of God. And the same enemy that approached Adam and Eve is the same enemy that wants to deceive you and I today. And to spite God, because he cannot get God himself, he goes after those who God most love. And he says, the same temptation is given to us that is given to Adam and Eve. You will be like God. Do you know, the fallen human heart establishes itself as the center of the universe. Everything revolves around me. Have a look at the world right now. This is the problem that we face in humanity. Billions of people expecting the world to revolve around them. I don't like that. I don't agree with that. And then we have all these people expecting the universe to revolve around themselves. Of course, we're going to have conflicts and clashes and differences of opinion when we have different ideas of what is right and what is wrong. And it is so easy to come to a place where we think, if we can just know enough, get enough understanding and knowledge, that we will be able to be judges of what is right and wrong ourselves. We create gods of ourselves, making our decision the final word on our actions. I will decide my fate. I will do what I think is best. I will choose what is right and wrong. The problem, though, the problem with making ourselves God is that we are lousy at being God, because unlike God, we are subject to deception. We are liable to deception. It is possible for us to be deceived. We foolishly think, if I can just get enough knowledge and understanding, if I can just read enough books, if I can just study hard enough or have enough experiences in life, all of that combined will make me able to make the right decisions. I'll be able to determine between right and wrong, what is good and evil. Do you know the entire world is built, and the systems of this world is built in this way? Think about it. Governments, media, everything that we engage with has this idea of collectively, surely, if we get enough smart people together, we think it through hard enough, we will be able to figure out what the best way forward is. But it doesn't take a genius to look at the world today and realize that with all the intelligence and with all the knowledge, with all the information that we have access to, and we have more information than we've ever had, somehow, with all of this knowledge and information, we still can't figure out what is best. We still can't agree on what is good and evil. We still can't find out what is the right decision to make. Do you know, I realized not so long ago that I have a gluttony problem. Yeah, you wouldn't think so from my physique, right? But the way I realized was, I went to pick up my wife, who was working at the time in a retail shop, and we're in a Westfield, and so we went into the car park, and I remember as I went in, I had the radio on, and you know, the static started to come, so I turned the radio off, and I got down into like second or third level of this car park, and I'm sitting there, and I've got about 15 minutes until my wife finishes her shift and comes down, so I'm like, oh, just sit here and wait for a bit. I'm like, you know what, I might just check my emails. Pull out my phone, oh, got no reception, all good, put my phone down. That's right, I listen to the news, turn the radio, static, I'm like, oh, well, can't do that. And then I'm just sitting there, I'll check Instagram, oh, no internet. And I'm like, make a quick phone call. Oh, can't do that. And I quickly realize in 15 minutes, I reckon I reached for my phone a dozen times. Unconsciously, like, I'll just quickly, oh no, I can't. And I realized that I literally am so addicted to this constant engagement with information and with understanding of what's happening around the world, and I want to read the news. And, you know, it used to be that you'd read the newspaper in the morning and that would be enough for you, but now I'm talking like I'm refreshing that thing so I can find out if anything happened in the last 10 minutes around the world that I should know, as if knowing it's going to actually help me somehow. And we have this idea, and I think all of us can relate to that idea of like being addicted to this idea of knowledge or understanding. And we start to get to this point where, like me, you start twitching if you don't have access to it. You start being like, oh, I'm getting itchy. I don't know what to do with myself. And do you know what's interesting is that we are so overwhelmed with information, thinking that the more information I have, the better equipped I'll be to make good decisions. We are so overwhelmed with information that we have pushed out, squeezed out all space for contemplation. I don't remember the last time that I saw someone sitting on a park bench just enjoying the scenery. Everyone's on their phone. Every single square minute, moment of our life, every single second, we are on our phones trying to get more information. But the problem is that information isn't enough. Knowledge isn't enough. Being aware or having experiences is not enough for us to chart our life through course, through life. You know, my pastor puts it this way. He says, we are not called to be people of information, but people of revelation. And there are two trees which are in the garden that God gave access to Adam and Eve to, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And do you know what? Through Jesus Christ, as we read in Revelation, I'll read it to you now, Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, it says, to the one who is victorious, the one made righteous in Christ, you and I, as believers, I will give the right, Jesus says, to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Do you know, through what Jesus did on the cross, is he restored the opportunity for people to return again to what God has destined us for, eternal life and communion with him. And through Jesus, through communion with God, we actually have now access to something greater than information and knowledge on our own terms. The two trees, are presented to us as an option. And I want to ask you the question, where do you find yourself going? Where do you find yourself going? Do you reach into that place of knowledge and understanding, trying to make sense of life in your own way? Or are you a person that comes to God, comes to Jesus, and reaches to the tree of life? In place of God's voice in our life, we've placed our own voice scaffolded by our own accumulated knowledge. I remember years ago, and some of you may remember this as well, when iPhone did an update and all of a sudden we got notifications from news. And I remember waking up one day and I had all of these news articles, sort of alerts on my phone. And I remember waking up reading it. And for about a week, I'd wake up and the first thing I'd do is, whoa, I can't believe that's happened. Click into it. Can't believe that's going on. Click into it. And the first part of every day got consumed with the news. Until I realized one day that I was actually eating from the wrong tree. I was waking up and I was saying, I'm going to fill myself on knowledge. I'm going to fill myself on information. I'm going to fill myself on what is happening around the world. And I was gorging on this stuff. And it's insatiable. There's never enough. You can never have enough knowledge, enough information, enough understanding. And so I was gorging myself until God reminded me one day, Tim, I have not called you to be a person of information, but of revelation. And he gave me this challenge. And the challenge was this, Tim, before you open a news app, before you go to Instagram, before you go to Facebook, you need to be in my word. You need to be reading the Bible. You need to wake up. And the first voice I want you to hear is my voice. And from that place of hearing God's voice, you can then properly interpret and engage with the information that is presented to you. The challenge with leaning on our own understanding is this. We're liable to deception. No matter how much information we have, we are always subject to deception. Do you know, the voice of God sometimes disagrees with what we think is right and wrong. Do you know, I've realized if I have not heard God disagree with me, then it's probably not God that I'm listening to sometimes. Does that make sense? If my God is always saying, oh yeah, what you feel is always right, then maybe it's not actually God that I'm listening to. It is my experience that as I walk with God by his Holy Spirit, as I read scripture and he reveals himself to me, I learn about God in a way that I have never known before. And it challenges my perception of what I believe and why I believe it. And this is actually what is so important for the believer. Because sometimes I think we all have done this before. We think God is a little bit daft, right? Have you ever found yourself thinking this? If I were God, I wouldn't have done that way. If I were God, I would have answered that prayer. Or if I were God, when I bought my friend a church, they would have responded to the message. You know, you find yourself sort of thinking, look, God's God and all, and I respect him, but tell you what, sometimes he's missed a good opportunity, you know. But here's the thing. There's this verse in Proverbs that says this. There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end leads to death. Do you know what we don't realize? Sometimes what we think is right is actually wrong. And sometimes what we think is wrong can actually be right. How do we discern what to do? This is where the voice of God is so important in our life. You think that job promotion that God didn't give me, like, why did he fail me? And we get upset and frustrated and bitter towards God because he didn't answer our prayer. But God knows that although that, you know, job would have given you a little bit more money, it also would have robbed you from your family. And the next decade, your life and your kids would have missed out on you being present in their life. And so sometimes what we think is good for us, God says, actually, I know more and I'm aware of more and I've got a bigger perspective of your life, and that's not actually good for you. It comes to this place of trust. What was the original scripture we shared? Trust in the Lord your God with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Do we come to the tree of life and say, God, I choose to engage with you. I choose to hear from you. I choose to let your scriptures speak to me. I choose to let the Holy Spirit stir me and move me and challenge me. Or are we someone who leans on our own understanding? Acknowledge him in all your ways and he will direct your path. Do you know there's success and then there's good success. And Proverbs 22 puts it this way. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich and he adds no sorrow with it. Do you know when God brings success into our life, it's not at the cost of something else. Sometimes we think, I want this, and we chase it, but we don't realize what we're actually doing is hurting ourselves. We chase a relationship thinking, I don't want to be lonely anymore, I want that thing. And we find ourselves in a relationship to solve one problem that actually creates a whole other world of problems in our life. And God cares about us too much to let us rely on our own understanding. And the invitation through Jesus is, hey, come back to me and lean not on your own understanding. Knowledge is not enough. We need God's voice. I might ask the band to come back if that's okay, and we will finish in just a few moments. But, you know, when it comes to living our life with God, what do we do? Well, there's two things I'd just like to encourage you to do. The first one is to learn to hear the voice of God. To learn to hear the voice of God. You guys are in an incredible church with incredible leaders, incredible people that you fellowship with. And I want to encourage you. Go on a journey of what does it mean for me to be able to hear from God? Maybe you've never read your Bible before or you've thought it's something that other people do, but you're feeling right now the Holy Spirit saying, hey, I want you to start to read the Bible. I want you to start to go on a journey of discovery of who I am. Learn to hear the voice of God and reach out to somebody on this team if you need to learn a little bit more about that. And then secondly, we need to learn to trust that voice even more than our own voice. And this second part's really hard. Because often we think we know what's best. We think we know what should happen and the way God should work. And we get confused when he doesn't work according to our plans. We need to come to a place of trust and say, you know what? I'm going to choose to believe what you say, even over what I think. This is hard, especially in a day and age where there is a lot of opinion out there. And there's even people, you know, through social media and different avenues that are pushing a whole lot of opinion into our world. It's very easy to be like, okay, I'll believe that. Or you read something and you're so impacted by it, that must be right. But we actually have to take a step back and go, okay, what does it mean to be a Christian? To be a Christian means that you have been reconnected, you've been restored, you have been reconciled, the Bible calls it in 2 Corinthians 5, to God. The old has gone, the new has come. Revelations 2 verse 7, as I said, Jesus, his purpose of coming is to again invite us back to that place where we are no longer forbidden. What do we read before? That God's heart isn't that we would be separated from him, but he devises ways in which the banished person may be brought back to him. What's the strategy of God? Jesus. God himself. Those that are, you know, leaning on their own understanding, Jesus comes and says, hey, if you would have faith in me, not in yourself, if you would trust what I say, not what you think, if you would believe and trust me as the one who defines good and evil and not you make your own judgments, you will find that you again have access to something that you have never known before. And God calls us not to live just for him, but to live with him, which is the miracle of the gospel. Not that we live for God, doing things as we think we should, but with God, with His voice guiding us and leading us. Do you know, my challenge, church, this morning is with all the information going around out there, with all the avenues to access people's opinions and ideas, where has the Word of God landed in your life? Is it your foundation? Do you find yourself leaning into Him? Do you find the greatest voice in your life being, you know, Scripture and the voice of God? Or do you find it being a particular leader or a person on Facebook or a media outlet? Or because right now the enemy wants to deceive us, distract us, take our eyes away from what is true and right and real. And the way he does that is by bombarding us with information, feeding this addiction that we have for more information, more understanding. If I just know that, if I just do this, then I'll be okay. No, you won't. It's not by that, it's by trust. Trust in the Lord your God with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways. And what will he do? He will direct your path. I'd just love to pray for people right now. And if you're here and you're willing, I'd love you just to close your eyes, because I honestly believe this could be a moment for you that could really change the trajectory of your future. It could really impact you in a way that you've never known. And I just want to pray two prayers. One with a group of people that right now you're in this room, and this whole idea of being able to be in relationship with God is either new to you, or as I'm talking about it, you are like, yep, I know what that is, but I haven't been in that sweet spot with God for a long time. And then I just want to pray for anyone in the room who, you know, when I'm talking about leaning into knowledge and understanding and relying on that to define what is right and wrong for you, you're like, yep, you know what? I've let go of the word. I've let God's voice slip into the background. And today we're going to ask God to come back into that sweet spot. So just quickly, while our eyes are closed, firstly, I just want to ask anyone, if you're here and in your heart, you are feeling God saying, hey, you know, I want you to be in relationship with me. I created you to know me. I created you to have communion with me and to have eternal life. If you feel God inviting you right now, I want to lead you in a very simple prayer. And what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to ask everyone in the room to pray this prayer out loud. And if you're one of those people that in your heart, you know God's calling you to do this, you pray it from your heart to God. And I honestly believe something miraculous is going to take place. And like my family all those years ago, your future is going to be changed forever. So can we just all maybe out loud pray this prayer after me? That would be great. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I know that you love me and that you gave your life up for me when you died on the cross. And this morning, I give my life back to you. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I thank you that the old is gone and the new has come. And by your Holy Spirit, walk with me, talk to me, and live in me from this day forward. In Jesus' name. Wow, just while your eyes are closed, you know, if that's you and you were like, I prayed that prayer and I meant it. This is a moment for you. You know it. I just want to pray God's blessing over you. And just so I know who I'm praying for, wherever you are, would you just quickly give me a really quick wave? Just quick, like, that was me. I prayed this prayer and it really meant something to me. Wherever you are, I'd just love to pray God's amazing, 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 amazing. Yep. Wow, amazing. So many people, yep, down here as well. Anyone else, and you prayed that prayer and you were like, this was me coming into a place with God that I've never known before, or amazing. Or it's been a long time since I've walked closely in relationship with God and I felt God pull me back to himself today. And as I prayed that prayer of faith, I came home. If that's you, just before I pray, just give us a quick wave. Anyone else? Amazing. Amazing here. Wow, so many people this morning. Lord, I just thank you so much for your precious people, God, that are here this morning who have heard the cry of heaven and have responded in faith. Lord, I thank you. Your word teaches us that it is by grace, through faith, that we are saved. Lord, I thank you for your grace that is sufficient, Lord. Lord, to bring us back from the place of brokenness and banishment into relationship with you. And I declare, God, over every person who prayed that prayer this morning, who raised their hand and said, that was me, or in their heart prayed that prayer, even for the very first time, I pray, God, that from this day forward, they truly would be a new creation. That when they walk from here, they would not walk as they did coming in, but they would walk, God, with the power and the presence of God himself with them. And that God, today, Jesus, they would begin to see things differently and you'd go on the journey of transformation. Their families will be impacted. Their future would be impacted. Their lives will be impacted. And God, this would be the beginning of the most exciting journey they could ever go on, God, that never ends and echoes into eternity. God, we thank you for those people and we bless them in Jesus' name. And just lastly, if today, in fact, why don't I just ask everyone, wherever we are, let's just all stand. And I'm just going to pray, and then if we can just sing through one song just really quickly, and then I'll let the team take over. What I'd love you to do in this next moment, as I pray and as we sing, if this morning you realize, man, I've been being hoodwinked by the enemy, deceived by the old taxi driver here, trying to take me around the garden path and away from the purposes of God and distract me from what's truly important, and you in your heart are just making a decision to say, you know what, God? Your voice, you I will listen to. Lord, I'll trust you. I'm going to start to lean into your voice, what you say, who you are. I'm going to go on that above everything. Maybe for you, it might be the same as me. It might be the challenge to be like, hey, before you jump on social media, you read your Bible. Before you go to the news app, you open up the scriptures. You know, you make space in your life to hear God's voice, that he may lead you where he knows is best, and that we don't rely on our own understanding of what is right and wrong. So with every eye closed, if that's you and you just feel this morning that you want to make that decision to lean in, why don't you just open up your hands and heart to God as I pray for you, and then let's spend some time in his beautiful presence. Lord, I just thank you so much that when you came, Jesus, you came so that we could have relationship with God. That through prayer, through scripture, through leaning into you by faith, God, we experience again what you intended us to always have as humans, God, communion with you and everlasting life. And Lord, I thank you that the everlasting life you've promised, it begins now, God. It's not just when we pass away from this life, God. It begins now. The kingdom has come, Lord. The Bible says that we should pray your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And I pray, God, that we will be people of your kingdom, not living by our own understanding, not living by what we think is right and wrong, not living by the definitions of this world, but God, choosing to trust and believe in you, acknowledging you in all our ways, listening to your voice even over our own as it leads us to what you have called us to do, God. And I just pray, God, that there would be the voice of God strongly echoing and speaking in our lives and in our hearts as we lean into you.
Good morning, church, and good morning to everyone joining online. If you're joining us online, I'd just like to grab some elements as we are sharing communion this morning. So, as Andy said, I'm Josh. I'm a youth leader here at Frontline Youth, but I'm a bit of a behind-the-scenes type of guy, not exactly up on stage speaking in the spotlight kind of person. So it was a bit of a shock when Andy kind of gave me a call back in February and he said, hey, Josh, I want you to lead communion one Sunday. And my immediate thought was like, who, me? Andy, come on, mate. I do tech stuff on Sunday, not standing up front speaking. My whole immediate reaction was, I'm not worthy of doing this. And the kind of sad thing is I'm not alone in this. There was this bloke in the Bible called Moses, might have heard of him, and he tried very hard to tell God that he wasn't much use for anything but herding sheep and goats. And he had plenty of excuses too, like, God, I'm not good at public speaking, or God, what if they don't listen to me? What if they don't believe that you sent me? Why should I go do this? But we know he ended up confronting the Pharaoh and leading the people of Israel out of Egypt, and all by just following God's step-by-step instructions. There was this other guy, his name is Gideon. He was hiding in the wine press, hiding from the Midianites. The same kind of excuses cropped up again. Like, oh God, I'm the weakest from my clan. Why, I'm the least in my family as well. Why should I be doing this? But an angel told him that he was a mighty man of valor. And Gideon thought, no, I'm not. But God knew that he would be, and he proved it by leading him to victory by defeating the Midianite army. And as Andy talked about in his Battle of the Mind series, there is this lie of the enemy. There is this seed thought that we have a lack of worth or a lack of value. And too many of us today kind of go along with this thinking that we're not worthy of being used by God. I'm too much of a sinner. I'm too broken. I'm, you know, not good at talking to people. Why should I be used by God? But that's a lie. And the truth is that we are more than just that. And so my question for you today is, will you let him prove that you are worth it? Will you let him prove that you have a unique purpose to accomplish and to do his will? So if we go to Matthew 9:12, Jesus said, healthy people, they don't need a doctor. Only the sick need a doctor. And I did not come to invite good people. I came to invite the sinners. And so that's why God is here inviting us. When Jesus was alive, he gave everything of himself to his disciples. He invited them to share in his life, in his love for the people, in his power to heal. And he also invited them to share in his suffering. And so when the time came for him to die for us all, he gave absolutely everything to set us free from our sins and to bring us home to the Father's love. And so a man who really understood this type of redemptive grace was Paul, as he writes in 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, I delight in insults, in hardships, in sufferings, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." And so Paul had these first-hand experiences of this power from Christ. And the reason of his glory and his joy on account of these things was this. They were opportunities for Christ to manifest the power and the sufficiency of his grace resting upon him. And by which he had so much experience and so much of this that he had the strength and divine grace that he could say, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." And this is a bit of a Christian paradox that we see ourselves in. For when we are weak in and of ourselves, then we are, through the grace of God, we are strong. And so when we see ourselves as being weak and meek of an in of ourselves, then we go out into Christ and we are qualified to receive this strength from him and experience this divine grace. And so as we take communion today, I invite you to reflect on what Paul said. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Let's take communion.